In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The little flower,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, welcome everyone. Thanks for being here. It's such a great number this morning. This is our February 1st talk. And the title is Prayer in the Life of the Church and in Our Lives. The series theme is Prayer, the Perennial Challenge of Listening and Speaking to God. We're devoting this year the remaining four meditations to a continuation of our reflections on prayer, that relatively brief but most beautiful last section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the United States Catechism for Adults. In the first three talks since October, we have focused on how it is that prayer is revealed, communicated in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, and significantly by Jesus himself, the master of prayer. Prayer was also a significant dimension in the life of the early church. So this is not something we've just invented in the last decade. Prayer was also a significant dimension. And the Bible can thus be seen as a large prayer book, whether you've ever thought of it in that way. Today, in our first meditation of 2024, our meditation is entitled Prayer in the Life of the Church and in Our Lives. It is good for us to reflect on prayer, especially as we approach the beginning of Lent in 2 weeks. Hard to believe, but Lent is early this year. So the first section, Prayer in the Age of the Church. From the earliest days of the church, the day of Pentecost, we see how the disciples were gathered together in one place. Significantly, Acts 1:14 tells us that while awaiting the Spirit, that is for Pentecost, all these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. We learn from Acts 2:42 that the first community of believers at Jerusalem devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. The infant church was born in prayer, lived in prayer, thrived in prayer. United States Catechism for Catholic Adults, 467. It should be no different for you or for me in our day. We learn, moreover, from the letters of St. Paul, that he was a man of intense prayer, especially in times of difficulty, and he knew difficulties. The Holy Spirit has taught and continues to teach the church in every age ways and expressions of prayer. As example, there is the prayer of adoration, our acknowledgement before God that we are creatures. The prayer of petition, the evidence of our dependence on God. The prayer of intercession, requests of God for our needs. The prayer of thanksgiving, the posture of thanking God for all his blessings for us. And the prayer of praise, the continuing recognition that God is God. So the first section of the tradition of prayer. God reveals himself and the importance of prayer through sacred scripture. But he also continues to reveal himself and teach us about prayer through the life and worship and doctrine of the church. That is what we call tradition. I don't mean tradition on the fiddler on the roof, but tradition with a big T. That is what is handed down, trotare from the Latin, to hand down through the centuries and every day of our lives and the lives of those who have gone before us. One of the great benefits of being a Catholic is our long tradition of prayer. We need not begin at square one and reinvent prayer. It has been an integral part of our lives as followers of Jesus from the very beginning. God also continues to reveal himself to us precisely when we are at prayer, when we are pondering a sacred text, or when we are celebrating the sacraments, or listening to the word of God broken open for us. Importantly, prayer cannot be reduced to the spontaneous outpouring of interior impulse. No kind of exercise, and prayer is a spiritual exercise, can take place without the will to exercise and the knowledge how to exercise. I've certainly learned that of late, now that I've turned 76 years old a couple weeks ago and have a treadmill in my room, which is not used, but must be a will, but importantly, there must be the knowledge how to work the treadmill. Who then teaches us to pray? In a word, it is the Holy Spirit. Our late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, used to say the Holy Spirit is the breath of prayer. I can remember him saying that in the yard over in Rome, the breath of prayer. And it is always good for us to come to know better this third person of the Blessed Trinity and how it is that the Holy Spirit reveals himself, communicates himself in our lives, particularly in our prayer lives. The wellsprings of prayer. The Catechism repeatedly links the Holy Spirit to prayer. At the outset, it calls the Holy Spirit the living water welling up to eternal life in the heart that prays. Catechism 2652. The Catechism states also the Holy Spirit, whose anointing permeates our whole being, is the interior master of Christian prayer, the Holy Spirit. He is the artisan of the living tradition of prayer. It is the communion of the Holy Spirit that Christian prayer is the prayer of the church. The Catechism states, in addition, the Holy Spirit, who thus keeps the memory of Christ alive. Think of it that way. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps us knowledgeable, able to come to know the Lord in the church at prayer, also leads her, the church, toward the fullness of truth and inspires new formulations expressing the unfathomable mystery of Christ at work in the church's life, sacraments, and mission. Catechism 2625. What a wonderful description of the Holy Spirit, the breath of prayer, the interior master of prayer, the artisan of the living tradition of prayer, the living water welling up in the heart that prays. The Holy Spirit is the living water. Where then, you might ask, is the wellspring? The Catechism sets forth four such wellsprings where Christ awaits us to enable us to drink of the Holy Spirit, Catechism 2652, and they are very practical. First, wellsprings, the Word of God. God's Holy Word is alive and active. It's not a dead letter. It strikes to the heart like a two-edged sword. This happens precisely because of the Holy Spirit. It is not a dead letter. Our challenge is to read prayerfully each day and frequently His Word. I know most of you do, I'm sure. What a wonderful goal as we approach Lent this year to develop that prayerful dialogue between God and us each and every day at a specific time, maybe on the treadmill, and at a specific place. If we don't designate, it's not going to happen. We are challenged to receive God's Word, to listen to it from the heart, to reflect on it, to respond to it, to relish it. His Word will change our lives for sure. I would suggest developing the habit of Lectio Divina, that is divine reading, which means reading scripture or to prove spiritual writing in a reflective and meditative way. So you're not just going through the book of the Bible, just going page by page, but allowing it to sink in. Seek in reading and you will find in meditating. Knock in mental prayer and it will be opened to you by contemplation. Catechism 2654. So the second wellspring, the liturgy of the church. It is the sacramental liturgy of the church that Christ and the Holy Spirit proclaims, makes present, and communicates the mystery of salvation which is continued in the heart that prays. 2655 Catechism. I'm giving you these quotes just so you know I'm not making them up. This refers to all the sacraments, but I wish to emphasize today our Holy Mass. The mystery of our relationship with the living God is more deeply internalized and progressively assimilated by dwelling in prayer on the text of the liturgy, before, during, and after Mass. The Mass is, after all, the highest form of prayer, the source and summit of our lives as Christians. We can never stop encouraging each other and walking with each other, and those close and not so close to us, to participate regularly at Sunday Mass, especially and during the week. There's a silent army of Christians that comes to daily Mass. I've often thought of it that way. My dad, who I know is with the Lord, he never missed a 6:30 Mass in the morning. And there was a group of men and women that would gather afterwards. And that's true in this parish too. Third wellspring, the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. One enters prayer through the narrow gate of faith. We come to Mass, that highest form of prayer, because we believe that a piece of bread will become the body of the Son of God and that a cup of wine will become his precious blood. This is a tremendous act of faith, and it's a source of prayer. The Holy Spirit, who instructs us to celebrate the liturgy in the expectation of Christ's return, teaches us to pray in hope. So I think that's another virtue that we need to appropriate. It's hopeful. It's not just a penance or a penalty. The Our Father is the prayer of hope par excellence, the prayer that Jesus gave us and taught. Following the Our Father at Mass, we pray, deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we await in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Prayer must reflect our hope, and hope is a source of our prayer. Love is the source of all prayer. Love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is love. Prayer formed by the liturgical life draws everything into the love by which we are loved by Christ and which enables us to respond to him by loving as he has loved us. Catechism 2658. The fourth wellspring, today. The Holy Spirit is offered to us at all times in the events of our everyday lives. Our challenge is to be aware of the presence of the living God at every moment of the day. To be sensitive to that, that we're not walking alone. The Spirit is walking with us and in us. And to listen and to respond to the Spirit. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Harden not your hearts. The voice of the Holy Spirit moving and inspiring us and walking with us. The way of prayer, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, whoever thought of them as the way of prayer, they're not just some figureheads. Having spoken of the source of prayer, what about the way of prayer? The Catechism teaches us that authentic Christian prayer is Trinitarian. That is, it is addressed to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and is done in communion with the Holy Mother of God. At the heart of all prayer is Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father only if we pray in the name of Jesus. He is what prayer is all about for those of us who are Christians. I often reflect on what the great St. Patrick wore on his breastplate. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ beneath me, Christ all around me, Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. We don't use this just for St. Patrick's Day. It should be this breastplate prayer is a very beautiful prayer to meditate on. That's truly the meaning of prayer. Jesus is the one name that contains everything. Jesus means Yahweh saves. There's a redemptive quality to the very name of Jesus. To pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. His name is the only one that contains the presence it signifies. Catechism 2666. At the same time, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Every time we begin to pray to Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who draws us on the way of prayer by his prevenient grace. In his book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, the late Holy Father John Paul II, when asked, "How, for whom, and for what do you pray?" He answered, "You would have to ask the Holy Spirit." The Pope prays as the Holy Spirit permits him to pray, or permits her to pray. I think he has to pray in a way in which, deepening the mystery revealed in Christ, he can better fulfill his ministry. The Holy Spirit certainly guides him in this, but man must not put up obstacles. The Spirit too comes to help us in our weakness. The simplest and most direct prayer of the Holy Spirit, you know it, "Come, Holy Spirit." An example of prayer also worthy of use is, "Father, I put my life in your hands. Jesus, I want to follow you. Holy Spirit, make me wise and holy." Abandonment, discipleship, truth and love are all ingredients of faithful prayer. The way of prayer in communion with Mary, the Mother of God. In addition to the Trinity, our prayer as Catholics is directed and in communion with Mary, the Mother of God, and not just Catholics. The Catechism teaches that in prayer, the Holy Spirit unites us to the person of the only Son in his glorified humanity, through which and in which our prayer unites us to the Church with the Mother of Jesus, Catechism 2673. Mary, the Mother of God, shows us the way to her Son. To him, she always leads us. In our prayer to Mary, there are generally two movements. The first magnifies the Lord for the great things he has done for his lowly servant and through her for all human beings. And second movement entrusts the supplications and praises of the children of God, each of us, to the Mother of Jesus. The twofold movement is exemplified in the great Marian prayer, the Hail Mary. The Catechism analyzes the Hail Mary sentence by sentence, one of the most often recited prayers in the Treasury of Prayer. Focus on the Hail Mary with me. It is, after all, the predominant prayer of the Rosary. The totality of the Rosary, I counted them this morning, are 150 Hail Marys, paralleling 150 Psalms. Listen to the words. Hail Mary, the opening words. That's the greeting of the angel Gabriel. It is God himself, through the intermediary of an angel, who greets Mary. It is thus God's prayer. Regarding this angelic salutation, St. Louis de Montfort writes, "Since the salvation of mankind began through the Hail Mary, the salvation of each individual's soul is linked up with this prayer. It was this prayer which caused the fruit of life to spring up in this dry and barren world, and it is the same prayer devoutly said which must cause the Word of God to germinate in our souls and to bear the fruit of life, Jesus Christ." This prayer is a heavenly dew which seeps gently into the soul of the human soul to bring forth fruit in due season. To say Hail Mary brings us now into that mystical encounter between God and Mary. By our prayer, we unite ourselves with Mary at prayer and assume her worshipful spirit of humility, openness, total self-donation. God took the initiative with Mary, as he continues to do with us. So watch for the angels in your life. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Mary is full of grace because the Lord is with her. It is God who told her that through the angel. The grace is the presence of him who is full of grace. It is as if full of grace were her name given by God. It is her essence, her identity, and the very meaning of her life. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Now we move to Elizabeth and her greeting. She is at the beginning of a long line who call Mary blessed. Blessed Mary is blessed precisely because she believed. The entire posture of her life is an obedience of faith. Not my will, but thy will be done. That is the essence of prayer, her prayer and every prayer. With regard to the name of Jesus, Dominican Archbishop Gustinoia states, through Mary then, we believe, we receive the holy name of Jesus by which the Lord manifests himself to us, hands himself over to us, beckons us to know him personally and intimately. We continue with the Hail Mary. Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We acknowledge our sinfulness at the end of the prayer and pray that our Blessed Mother will be with us at the hour of our death, as she was at the hour of her son's death as he died out of love for us on the cross. St. Louis de Montfort writes, I have no more effective way of discovering whether a person is of God than by inquiring whether he loves to say the Hail Mary. The Hail Mary has been the means whereby the whole world was saved. Because of her singular cooperation with the action of the Holy Spirit, the Church loves to pray in communion with the Virgin Mary. Mary is the perfect orans, prayer. Orans, it comes from the Latin. A figure of the Church. When we pray to her, we are adhering with her to the plan of the Father who sends his Son to save all. Like the beloved disciple, we become Jesus' mother into our, we bring Jesus' mother into, welcome Jesus' mother into our home. For she has become the mother of all the living. We can pray with and to her. Catechism 2679. A cloud of witnesses. And there are others, in addition to our Blessed Mother, who make up the living tradition of the prayer in the Church. We're not alone. We're never alone. I speak now of the great cloud of witnesses who have preceded us. Into the kingdom. Some are officially canonized by the Church as saints. Others are known to be to us by their holiness of life. How is it that those whom the Church recognized as saints share in the living tradition of prayer? The Catechism answers that question this way: by the example of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their prayer today, their intercession is the most exalted service to God's plan. We can and should ask them to intercede for us. You're talking about saints and for the whole Church and the world. Our prayer can profit from the rich variety of spiritualities which exist in the communion of saints, Franciscan, Dominican, Jesuit, Benedictine, etc. Each developed at a given time and responded to the needs of that time, and each has perdured to this day. The saints can be powerful intercessors in the living tradition of the Church. That is one reason why I encourage couples to choose a saint's name for a child ready to be baptized. I don't always win, though. Servants of prayer. There are many places where we receive guidance in prayer and how to pray. First and foremost is the Christian family, called the domestic church. The first place of education in prayer. In our family home, we always said grace before meals and do it to this day, and I'm sure you do too. We always were taught to pray before bedtime, to pray for our parents and those in need. If a child does not learn to pray as a child, when will that happen? Will it in fact ever happen? The Catechism also speaks of the responsibility of ordained ministers and religious in teaching prayer. I think some of the most important prayer taught to me were the sisters in grade school, and they continue to teach to this day. This cannot be underestimated, that is their teaching. It speaks of spiritual directors and prayer groups. Maybe some of you are in Bible groups. It speaks specifically of the catechesis of young people. The Catechism underscores the memorization of basic prayers offers an essential support to the life of prayer, but it's important to help learners savor their meaning as well, not just verbalized, memorized words. Sadly, I cannot tell you how many young people and young adults come to confession and do not know the act of contrition. Something very important is missing, and our constant job is to help correct that. We can pray at any time of the day and in any place, yet there are some places more conducive to prayer than others. The Catechism mentions the church, God's house, as a proper place for liturgical prayer. It's also a wonderful place to adore the Blessed Sacrament. I would agree with the Catechism's suggestions that we should cultivate a prayer corner in our homes. Does anybody have a prayer corner in their home? Elizabeth does. Where a copy of Scripture is prominently displayed. In our rectory, we are blessed to have a chapel for meditation before the Blessed Sacrament. The Catechism also mentions pilgrimages that evoke our earthly journey towards heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal in prayer. Having led many John Carroll Society pilgrimages, I can attest, as I know others will agree with me, that a pilgrimage can be a wonderful opportunity to learn to pray in a new way and new forms and deepen our prayer life in addition to having a good time. With all these guides to prayer, each of us should rejoice in the living tradition of prayer in our church, prayer that is the life of the new heart and the heart of our relationship with Jesus, his Father, and their Holy Spirit. Amen. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. We meet the next time.